You order a pizza and you think it's going to be nice and warm. By the time it gets to you, you know, you can break the icicles off of it, right? But Jesus doesn't come early or late. It comes right on time. And when Jesus was born, the time of the people of God was not a very fun time. They were under Roman occupation. They were suffering. They were facing political and religious persecutions. They couldn't express themselves freely. In fact, every time they even attempted at doing so, they would be squelched, broken. People living in their lands, and they were foreigners. People living in their homes as complete strangers. And for years, they had been longing for a Savior, for a Messiah that would break through the bondage of their pain and their sorrows, that would bring life to them. And at that moment, at the right moment, at the right time, we find that Jesus was born. Now, how did Jesus come? If you're following along in your outline there, how did Jesus come? Jesus came as God in the flesh. As God in the flesh. Now, for some of us who've been Christians for a long time, we kind of get desensitized to this fact, okay? We've known it, right? We've known it for years. You know, that, okay, Jesus was born. It was God made flesh. You know, no big deal. But this day, I want to bring us back to the elementary feeling and reality that Jesus is God. Amen. That God became a man. My friends, this is radical. This is unbelievable. This was completely, and until this day, completely unheard of. Not in anyone's wildest dreams were people expecting this, that God would become a human? Impossible. In fact, you see, not even though the prophets had prophesied and had talked about and had written and were calling for a Messiah to come and free their people, they were not expecting God himself to do it. They were expecting a Messiah. They were expecting a deliverer. They were not expecting God. That's why the Jewish people to this day, you know, they say, no, not God. It will be a Messiah, but not God. And Jesus Christ was saying basically this. It's the same thing you and I say when we want to get things done. If I want to get something done right, I am going to what? Can some people relate to me this morning, right? Sometimes we parents kind of use that line from time to time, right? We look at our kids and we say, okay, we look at our list of to do and we say, okay, you're going to do this. You know what? Don't do it. I'm going to do it. Who wasn't that? My youngest son, oh, bless his heart. You know, he's a little helper sometimes. And we were about to do a barbecue at home and he offered to grill the meat himself. He's 11. Ain't gonna happen, right? Not my meat, right? Not my meat. If you want to invite him, and he can grill your meat if you want, but not my meat. Right? He wanted to do it right. He did it himself. God broke through the plane of existence, interrupted what was going on, and he came down as a man. The first two centuries of the Christian faith were spent people arguing back and forth of the humanity and divinity of Jesus Christ because it's mind-blowing. What did Paul say about Christ? He said that to some it was what? Foolishness, right? To the Greeks, foolishness. Why? Because it was inconceivable for the Greek mind who was against matter, against flesh. Everything that was down here was evil. How is it that God is going to come down and become something that is part of the problem? That was it. That was the point. They missed it. To the Jews, it was what? A stumbling block. Impossible. I can't get my mind around this. There's no way of this happening. But Jesus came down in order to get the job done. In fact, we have the description given to him by this. The special description is this. He is the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Jesus is called the Son of Man in order to let us know, look, I've been there. I've done that. I understand. God in the flesh, it's outstanding. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. It had to happen. And that is what you and I celebrate today. That is what you and I are singing about this morning. That is what you and I are gathering with people of our family members and friends and trying to let them know, listen, this is what we are celebrating today, that the Son of God became the Son of, come on, say it with me, the Son of Man. The second thing, how did Jesus come? He came through a miraculous birth. A miraculous birth. The special description given here is that he is the Son of God. Not only was he the Son of Man, birth in flesh and blood, but he was the Son of God. It's a miracle. Do you realize that that saying nowadays, it's a miracle, has absolutely no meaning anymore? Do you realize that? You find a parking space and you say, it's a miracle. It's not a miracle. What do we use it's a miracle for? I never use it's a miracle for my wife's cooking, you know, never. And my friends, for those guys, don't use it either, okay? It's a miracle. It's lost its meaning, hasn't it? These words have absolutely no significance anymore. But the truth of the matter is that in a material world, we simply have lost any faith in miracles anymore. But yet miracles are happening all around us. And the birth of Jesus Christ is the greatest miracle of all. Listen to this. A miracle, somebody once explained it as this. It's a visible interruption. I love it. A visible interruption. Why isn't it interruption? Why is it a miracle and interruption? We're not expecting it. We're out and about doing our own thing, you know, just, and all of a sudden, it happens. A visible interruption of the laws of nature such that it can only be explained as a divine intervention. Do you believe in miracles this morning? The miracle here is that you and I were hopelessly and eternally lost. That humankind was on its way out. And that God rolled his sleeve up and himself, in a miraculous way, dug his holy and clean hand into the pit of hell, of the muck and the mire of our sin, without any regards for what people would say, what philosophers would write about, what theologians would argue about. God did it and pulled us out of our own destruction and despair. That, my friends, is what we're celebrating. A godly intervention. How many of you sometimes need a godly intervention? There's some of you here this morning who need a godly intervention in your lives. Those of you who are in despair and saddened and are about to give up or run out on your marriage or give up on your kids or give up on your dream, some here are just ready and out to throw in the towel, and it is in this precise moment that God is intervening in your life and letting you know, don't give up, don't give in. I am here, and I will get my way done if you allow me to. That's what we're celebrating. How did Jesus come? He came, I love this, in humble circumstances. I said it earlier, not in a palace, not in a castle, not with bells and whistles or fanfare other than the angels, as Gary said. You know, Jesus did not, you know, was not displayed in the time, in the cover of Time or People or Newsweek. Mary was not, you know, brokering to see how much he would sell the pictures of the baby to, you know, Us magazine or like some other stars are doing. No. The Bible says that he was placed in a crib, in a manger. How many of you have manger scenes in your house for the season? I mean, does your manger stink?
No.
Does it look bad? Is there like, I mean, like, please excuse, you know, excuse me. Is there like little poop around, you know, the manger? Right? There's none of, I mean, come on, let's be real, right? I mean, we say that Jesus was born in a manger, right? In a stable with animals. Your manger, my manger, do not stink. In fact, you know, yesterday we were sitting around, you know, around the tree with some friends, and the manger was right there. I mean, there was no grotesque things there. I mean, the manger has been sanitized and commercialized, hasn't it? But the reality is that it was neither. It was not sanitary and it was not commercial. In fact, historians and archaeologists still are trying to piece together what the manger scene really looked like. Because, you know, to us it's a stable. Well, it wasn't really a stable. To others, it was like a cave. Well, it was somewhere in between. It was dungy. It was stinky. It was humid. It was unsanitary. The Savior of humanity was born in a hole. That's why the special description that we give him today is that he is a seeker servant. That Jesus came to seek and to save. He didn't come to be served. That Jesus came on a mission to find you and to find me. That Jesus was not willing to give up or to be surrounded with distractions in order to lose sight of his real mission. Oh, how many times do we get distracted as we try to do God's will? Sometimes, my friends, we lose sight of the fact of why we are here as God's children. How come I'm not getting any laughter now? Right? Because it's not funny. But we sometimes lose track of the sight of the fact that we are here also for a mission. That Jesus was a seeker servant looking like that woman looking for the lost coin. Women here, have you ever lost something of value in your home? Let me see your hand. Have you ever lost anything? No, right? What do you do? I mean, I've been married to Carmen now, we're going on 19 years, all right? And when Carmen says those magical words, "I've lost something," I get in my car and I drive away as far and as fast as I possibly can without really leaving, you know, the continent. You see, life in the Padin home will not be the same until that item is found. Life will come to a complete stop. It happened this past week. We got up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym, all right? Now, I'm not bragging, right? It's just a fact that while some of you are sleeping, you know, in your beds, Pastor Reggie's in a treadmill somewhere in Broward County, you know, trying to shed some pounds, right? But, you know, I've been, you know, trying to do this thing together with my wife, and this morning, she lost her contact. How do you lose a contact, right? It's there. She says she put it in her eye, and then it wasn't there. I couldn't get my workout that morning. I was in a bad mood. We were late to go to the office. She found it. She didn't give up. She found the contact. Well, Jesus is that kind of example as well, that life will come to a complete stop until he finds you, until he finds me. That Jesus is like that shepherd who's willing to give, you know, gives watching over his 99 in order to go over that, you know, find that one. That Jesus is like that good dad whom, after being betrayed by his son, waits by the side of the road every single day looking to see his son come back. Seeker servant. That's why Jesus came. Now, why did Jesus come? And I'm going to wrap this up right now. He came for one purpose and one purpose only, according to God's eternal purpose. That's why we call him this. We call him Savior. That's why we call him Savior. That he came in order to save. Have you ever been close to losing your life before? I have. I remember I was 10 years old. My mom and her friend took both me and my friend to the beach. And, you know, as kids, we're playing in the water. We're playing in the water, and we keep moving backwards and backwards. And I came to a part where the ground was no longer there. When I jumped and landed, water was about 3-4 feet over my head. And I really didn't know how to swim. It's the closest thing I've been to dying. You know where it says that your whole life flashes in front of your eyes? At 10 years old, I experienced that. And I remember as I'm struggling for my life and I'm trying to get out of there and I'm swallowing the salt water and I open my eyes, of course, and it burns and I'm desperately trying to save my life. I remember really praying at that moment, Lord, please save me. And as I'm jumping and struggling, I jumped high enough to land, where I had fallen from. And my mom didn't even realize it. I didn't tell her until a few days later. I wanted to go to the beach again, you know. But this time it was just to play in the sand, right? You know, even to this day, you know, you'll find me with the toddlers, you know, just building castles and, you know, making mud, you know, the fun things in life. But I realized at that age that I needed a savior. When you're desperately trying to save your life, you're going to lose every single time. Why not give that job and opportunity to Jesus Christ to do the job for you? How does one respond to the one who came in a crib? Well, the shepherds, as Gary said, you know, they saw the awe and the spectacle of the angels and the archangels and the heavenly choir singing. And you know what they did? The Bible says that they hurried. When the angels gave the announcement, they didn't even wait a single moment. They left in hurry to go see for themselves the one who was born. And that's the kind of opportunity that God wants to give us today. That is the kind of response that God is looking for from you and from me this day, is that when we hear the story, when we see the majesty of God's birth, when we see this taking place, that we would hurry. But then the Bible says that they went and told others about it. You see, they didn't keep that to themselves. They went and told others about it. There was a sense of urgency and desire and longing, of need, of desperation to allow other peoples to experience and to see what they had experienced for themselves. How would you respond to this message this morning? How are you going to respond to the Christmas story? How are you going to respond to this life-changing message? Are you going to sit on the sidelines? Or are you going to hurry and do something with it? Or how about Simeon's response? You remember Simeon, the older fellow who had been, you know, longing and living to see the day where he would be witness to the Messiah coming. And when he finally got that opportunity, he says, I have seen all I have needed to see. Lord, take me home if you need to. What is going to be your response? I pray that your response would be one of complete awe and adoration, that you would sense the love of God in your life and that you would respond to that love with your love. Pray with me, please. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, and as we pray this prayer, if there's anyone here who does not have the gift of salvation this morning, who has not experienced the goodness of God for him or herself, I invite you to, wherever you're seated, wherever you find yourself, to pray this prayer, as we all pray this prayer, with me. God our Father, we thank you this morning for the crib, for the significance of your birth. We thank you for the opportunity we have in you to be birthed again, to be renewed in our spirits, to be called the children of the Almighty. And we pray that as we celebrate with family and friends, that we would, above all, celebrate the fact that we are your children, given new opportunities, given a new life, being reborn in you, we can now go on and tell others about that goodness and the mercy of the Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Merry Christmas.
We're going to close this with the song, Heart of Worship. And as we close, just again, continue to block out all the other distractions and focus what has been said. What is going to be your response to the fact that you have a God who gave it all for you? It talks about greater love has no man than he laid down his life for his friend. You have this God who came for the specific purpose. His one purpose was to come so that he could die for you and for me. Don't go into another year doing the same old thing and thinking the same old way. Make the decision today, and it's as easy as simply sitting where you are and praying the prayer that was prayed, asking the Lord to come into your heart and change your life for good. He is a friend that will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. If you're in the pit, he's there. If you're on the mountaintop, he promises that he will be your best friend, good, bad, or ugly. He is faithful. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Is he faithful? He is faithful. He will stick with you. Whether we have music, whether we have presence, that's what this next verse is about. We're going to sing one verse of coming back to the heart of worship. What he really wants, you can give him stuff. You know, that's great. But what he really wants is you coming to him with a humble heart. He will come running after you when you come to him with a humble and repentant heart. So let that be the heart that you approach him with now. Go ahead and stand. And right now, you're not singing to anybody but Jesus. This song is a prayer. I don't want you to look to the left or to the right. This is not just some song. Nobody is excluded from worship. Every single person who knows the Lord, you sing this song to him when the music fades.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to breathe, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more, I'll bring you more than a song.
Sing it to Jesus, don't look around, sing this to him. Surrender to the Lord. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. You and God, I'm coming back.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you.
Jesus, right now, as you look upon your children, what you're seeing is not their appearance. You're looking right now at their hearts and the condition of their hearts. And with some, you're pleased. With some, you're sad. With some, you have the desire to change us and make us more like you. So God, we pray that you would give us the help that we need to come to you humbly, repentant, so that you would do a work in us. Cause, Lord God, that from today, we would not be the same. For those who don't know you, they've heard about you. They can even speak about you in an intelligent sounding way. But their heart is not with you. They are not yours. And so, Lord God, we pray that you would give them the gift right now of a heart of repentance. That for your sake, for their sake, break their hearts right now. Help them to see, Lord God, that they're sinners and that they need you and that you have all that they need. We bless your name. Cause that we would be a blessing to you this Christmas, Lord God. We pray in Jesus' name. We're going to sing Feliz Navidad, but I want you to know something. The most important thing you can do today is to give your life to the Lord. Amen. And all the saints in the house, that's what your prayer is. That's what you're praying about right now, that the folks who don't know Jesus would give their lives to him. For those of you who know him, you know if you've become cold, you know if you've become complacent, you know if church is just going through the motions for you, you need to recommit that heart to him. Amen. As we go, I want you to grab somebody and hug them and show them the love of Jesus as we sing. Feliz Navidad. Grab them, hug them, just smile with them. Come on, just walk and hug somebody. Show them the love of Jesus. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Oh, oh, oh. Feliz Navidad. Oh, oh, oh. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Hug somebody. Feliz Navidad. Nobody should be standing right now. Go hug somebody. Navidad. Oh, oh, oh. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. You a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Oh, oh. Feliz Navidad. Oh, oh, oh. Feliz Navidad, prospero año y feliz. Come on, hug somebody in Jesus' name. Feliz, Feliz Navidad. He loves you.
Feliz Navidad.
And he cares.
Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
I want to wish you.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas in Jesus.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yes, he loves you.
I wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Come on, praise him through the instruments. Praise him through the instruments.
Test, 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 test.